board meeting is being recorded. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all.
Were there any public comments received by phone, mail, or email?
None.
All right, we'll be swearing in the new board members. We'll start with Dan. I, Dan Drayton.
I, Dan Drayton.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the laws thereof.
And the laws thereof.
And will faithfully and honorably demean.
And will faithfully and honorably demean.
Myself in the office.
Myself in the office.
Of North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District One.
Of North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District One.
Position Five.
Position Five.
Four-year term.
Four-year term.
Expires June 30th, 2029.
Expires June 30th, 2029.
To which I have been elected to the best of my ability.
To which I've been elected to the best of my ability.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
We'll swear in Mr. Warner.
All right.
Hold up the right hand.
All right.
I, Jerry Warner.
I, Jerry Warner.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
I will support.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
And the laws thereof.
And the laws thereof.
And will faithfully and honorably.
And faithfully and honorably.
Demean myself in the office.
Demean myself in the office.
Of North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District.
North Lincoln Fire Rescue District.
One. Director, position four. Position four.
Position four.
Four-year term.
Four-year term.
Your term expires 6/30/2029.
6/30/2029.
To which I have been elected.
To which I have been elected.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Welcome, sir.
And then I'll need those so I can notarize them. Thank you.
Nancy, the other thing we'll do at the end is we'll take their pictures so we can put it on.
Mm-hmm. The board.
The board. The new board members swear in pictures on our social media and our website.
So now that we have a quorum, do we have a motion to approve? I don't know if we can approve them since they're voting for themselves. Motion to approve.
That's wrong. Is that legal?
I think we're going to motion.
Nomination of board of officers, it says review, discussion, motion to approve. So that was for the nomination of board officers, president, vice president,
officers,
secretary.
And we're going to hold off until the next meeting.
Hold off until Tim's back, until Eric's back.
Eric, correct.
Yep.
Minutes, was there any discussion on the board minutes or any corrections? I'm sorry.
Forget your book.
No, I haven't. My computer's not running yet. There are no questions on the minutes. I will ask for a motion.
I would so move to accept the minutes as written.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Roll call. Oh, and I need to do a roll call for the meeting as well.
Okay.
Should I do that now?
Sure.
So Nancy Oxenholt.
Here.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton is absent. Jerry Warner.
Here.
And Dan Drayton.
Here.
Okay, and roll call vote for the
board minutes.
Board minutes. Nancy Oxenholt.
Yes.
Tim Beatty is absent. Eric Creighton is absent. Jerry Warner.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, sorry, we're doing a roll call vote for the, for the board minutes approval. And Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Has the secretary treasurer reviewed the banking reconciliation?
He has.
Thank you. Any comments on the QuickBook audit report?
While I was doing that, I did tiptoe around in there and haven't got a phone call from Kathy saying to screw anything up, so.
Okay. That's good.
It's view only, it's hard, but doesn't mean.
Yeah, okay. Monthly financial report review, Mr.?
Yes, thank you. So what you have in front of you is for the year end, but it's not the year end. So we keep it open for another month until the auditors say close because we have bills that are coming in that were from last year. So that stuff's still open. But I think if you look, you can see that the money coming in, I would go all the way up to page 3. So our resources, we budgeted $10,642,000. We're actually $12,844,000. So we're $2.2 million over where we thought we were going to be. Remember that part of that, $350,000 of that was insurance reimbursement for the ladder truck. We're very good with that money coming in. And then for the rest of the pages, we look at stuff that just exceeded. I think on page 6, the bank charges were exceeded, almost doubled what we thought they were going to be.
Is that because of Milo?
Milo, that was that $1.50 per check. So as we whittle that down and then we make those changes. The dispatch applications on page 7 were 137. That's because we went forward with the stuff on active where we can talk on the thing if you have cell phone coverage.
Ocean Lake Station, 118%.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things that happened. But the main thing that happened at this station was the replacement of those door locks that went bad, the exterior door locks. Repair and maintenance of all stations, we took a big chunk out of that because of there was a major expenditure we had. I'm trying to think of which exactly it was. But
was that the garage door?
No, wasn't the garage door. But overall, building and maintenance, we're at 94%. So we kind of take away from one and into the other. If you move over to page 10, apparatus and fuel, we're 104%. So we're 4% over. It's hard to determine what gas is going to cost now and then. So if you look at page 11, total on material and services, we spent 77% of what we thought. So we're $244,000 less. Again, that's still open. That'll change by the end of the month. And then at the very bottom of page 11, you look at total public safety expenditures. We spent 85% of what we did. So we're 15% less, but again, it's not open. Mm-hmm. And then so your ending fund balance, you see it's $7,351,000. We estimated it at $6.5 million. So we're $800,000 ahead of where we thought we were going to be. Again, $350,000 of that was that ladder truck stuff that came through.
Is there estimated date that delivery of that truck, the ladder truck?
Yeah, it will be about a year from now. I just today got the final thing from Pierce telling us what everything was in there. Mm-hmm. 116 pages.
You signed the contract.
Yeah, the contract was signed last month, and we got a bond. A performance bond from them we received a couple of weeks ago. So we've got the bond, the contract, everything's in line.
Do they deliver or do you send people
back?
They're
delivering it. We're going to send Dave and Cody back about a month before they're finished for an inspection. And I always prefer they deliver it because if something bad happens between there and here, it's their dime.
Where is it coming from?
This is coming from Florida.
So,
yeah, I remember back in that place I used to work, they had an owl go through the windshield on a vehicle they were bringing back, and McMinnville Fire had to pay for it. Whereas if they're bringing it back, it's their dime. Mm-hmm. So it was an owl stuck right.
Oh, my word.
So
Do they send an instructor out on the equipment at all?
Yep, so when it gets here, we're gonna have a Pierce instructor will be here for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll go top to bottom with all the ladder truck operators and the officers.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave and Cody will, I'm sure, go through it too.
Yeah, my other question is on fuel. Do you fuel up through the city pumps down there or
through
your trucks?
At Carson Oil.
Behind Public Works.
Yeah,
okay.
By Public Works,
okay.
There.
I wasn't sure how you did that.
Yeah, that's where we get our fuel from.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I got on financials.
Thank you. Nothing on budget since we're still in the budget season. Old business is selecting the.
Sorry, so we need to do
approve
the monthly financials.
So we need a motion. Make a motion to approve the monthly financials.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Roll call.
Roll call. Okay, Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty and Eric Creighton are absent. Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Old business is select a contractor for the roof at Otis Station. All the bids were here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you also got it in the book where it's broken down into the different companies.
Yeah, so I put together that as a spreadsheet so we could see. And it's, I was explaining earlier, the reason we tried to do this last month is so we could get ahead of it. And it was not in the budget last year. It's in the budget this year, and according to our budget policy, the board doesn't need to act on this. I can act on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was in the budget and approved. And then we did follow the, so this is what's considered an intermediate procurement. It's less than $150,000.
So you can pick, usually?
I can pick. I left it in here so that you guys could look at it. And you'll probably pick the same guy I'm picking.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need a motion or approval unless you guys want to. And so you can see the differences in here. They all met the licensing requirements. Some of them sent their CCB forms and their insurance with it, and some did not.
Mm-hmm.
That's not actually required until we go to sign a contract. So there's the roofing materials on there. You know, Malarkey is in Oregon. It's made in Oregon. I don't know where Owens Corning, CertainTeed, or GIF is made. I just know Malarkey is because I've used it in the past. Their installation warranties are between 5 and 10 years, except the guys out of Salem, theirs said 25 years.
Wow.
But there are a lot of things in there that you can read that they have limitations to it. So, for instance, if there's blow off, that's only so many years. If there was blow off, algae is like lifetime on most of them. And then there was another one that they limited on. Their workmanship is generally either 5 or 10 years, but the only thing I could find out of the guy from Salem is that they had 25 years. The repair damages there, so that's what each one of them said, depends on what it was. Top line, 120 per sheet. The other guy's armor said 9 sheets that they would replace, but we paid for the plywood,
mm-hmm.
but they were throwing the labor in for those 9 sheets. Fiverr was just $100 an hour plus materials. Eagle Point, 75 for an hour per materials. Dakota Construction, they had already predicted that there was gonna be some minor repairs in that back corner. They had bid it out for 650 and then $95 per sheet after that. So a couple of them had options for the skylights. We're going to replace that skylight for sure. There's no reason to put a new roof on,
right.
New flashing, and leave an old, 30 plus year old skylight on there. So we're gonna replace the skylight. Bob was going to look into the cost of us purchasing the skylight from Builders First Source or from Copeland, and then weigh out which one of these, you know, again, three of them didn't provide an option for that. Two of them did. And so those are the options that are in there. Then there were some other extra things on there. Again, limited warranties, different levels, blow off, algae, and materials. They all included disposing of both layers. They all included stainless steel flashing and nails. So there was two of them in there that wanted to go with ridge vents and get rid of our other vents. And Bob Schroeder was absolutely against that. He says that's garbage. Especially when you get the needles that are on that roof and that just the mesh up there and that thing will clog. I mean, he goes up there at least twice a year, blows the needles and cleans that stuff off. The guy from Eagle Point, he is adding six vents, and then he had an option in there to upgrade from the Malarkey Vista to the next higher one for $2,600. And Bob recommended that we do both of those.
What was the installation warranty on that one? If we went up, is it the same?
It's the same. Yeah, the installation's the same. It's just a hardier roof. It's just the next one. So I tried to compare. So in materials like the Malarkey Vista and the Malarkey Vista, so Top Line and Eagle Point, I bid those exactly the same. So those were the two prices. About a $5,000 difference in what they wanted. So. And then that Dakota Roofing wanted to change that ridge vent system. And then they also wanted to replace the entire rear gutter on the back for $5,900, gutter and downspouts. All the other bids were cleaning the gutters. I have no idea why this guy wanted to install a new gutter back there. I didn't see any damage to the gutter. So anyway, so at the end of the day, Eagle Point Roofing is the one that I would select. Any objections to that?
Nope. Okay. Just one question. Did you check the CCB and make sure there were no complaints?
Yeah, so on all of these, and you can look at all these, and some of them had some complaints to them. Mm-hmm. Pfeiffer Roofing had none. So Pfeiffer Roofing had none. Eagle Point Roofing has, all he had was, he was suspended for lack of contractor license, bond, and insurance, and everything else was no for complaints and disciplinary. Dakota Roofing had complaints, had disciplinary action against them. He wasn't suspended at any time. Top Line Roofing, those are the guys over by the police department. Mm-hmm. They had yes, yes, yes in all three categories.
For complaints.
And Armor Roofing had yes in suspensions over the lax for not having bonded insurance while he was working. So.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, so pretty much a pretty good deep dive into those guys.
I have a question. Is there any policy that you have to give preferential treatment to local?
No, not to local people. There is some stuff for handicapped people, but it's not anything to do with construction. It's really administrative type stuff if we were to subcontract out for different services like that. But there's nothing that says local people get an extra. Mm-hmm. Like when we hire a volunteer, we give them five extra credit points. They don't allow that in the contracting bidding. Mm. So.
But we pretty much choose local if
we try it. And, right. You know.
We have them do bids and that.
It's, you get what you pay for, right? Sometimes you look at a cost of something and you know that it's, if I spend an extra few dollars, it's going to be a better job and last longer, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you would look for. But other than that, there's nothing. And that public contracting book, it's, you can look through that.
Mm-hmm.
Item number two, old business, is the future of CERT with North Lincoln Fire.
So the one with Eagle Point.
Pardon?
Is that right?
I think that's what he was picking, Eagle Point. That was his
choice.
Yeah.
I added in here, so after our meeting last time, David Jameson sent me a memo here, really outlining what they thought North Lincoln Fire's role in CERT would be, because that seemed to be some question on what we were looking at doing. And he went to a larger meeting, a statewide CERT meeting in Woodburn that was very well attended and got a lot of good information. And so he he wanted to know what, you know, what those departments did and what other departments did for their CERT teams. And so you can see on the next page here, on page two of his, what he wanted for North Lincoln Fire's responsibility is a continuing support of the agency, take over delivery of the basic CERT classes every year. So every year they have a basic CERT class that goes on. Retain, we provide guest speakers for that pretty regularly.
How many days is it?
Well, it basically is like a 3-month program, mm-hmm. and it's one night a week. They were doing it every Wednesday kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding them at the community college. Now there's two ways to teach CERT. There's, you can assign and they go to the FEMA website and they do it at their own pace and read the modules and just watch everything on TV. And at the end of that, they come in and do a practical skills. Then there is what David was doing, which was every day in the community college and then, you know, doing the PowerPoint presentations. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of kind of a combination of both, right? So you could gauge their interest and see how they're doing and not find out at the end of 3 months that they didn't learn anything. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, you know, we can work on how we would deploy that training out. He would rather hold the basic CERT training at station 14 or 16 rather than Oregon Coast Community College, because that makes it more visible that the fire department is supporting CERT, what they're doing. Like I said, right now he just holds it at the community college. So he would rather see it. That's not a big deal. And then take responsibility for the ongoing training in turning off utilities, extinguishing small fires, splinting, and those kinds of things that we do. And so that's just as we do that now, he'll call us and say, hey, can you guys come in and teach the fire extinguisher class? Because they don't have that. So we just purchased a brand new electronic fire extinguisher thing, so we don't have to use fire extinguishers and spray that stuff all over the place. It's a lot cleaner. And then how to turn off utilities, because we have the props to do that. For instance, we have the gas meter prop behind you there. There's things that we're doing that stuff anyway. So I was looking at what more are we doing than what we're already doing. And basically it's teaching the annual class, and that's not a hard lift for us to do. And then he listed in here what North Lincoln CERT's responsibility would maintain. Mm-hmm. You know, they would maintain the structure of the board meetings, continue their fundraising, work on FEMA stuff until the grants dry up, as it says, manage the monthly team meetings, agendas, supplies, and speakers, continue to support community events such as the Kite Festival, 4th of July, continue with their newsletters to inform stakeholders about the meetings, provide information to the community. So on the 4th of July, CERT was out with two shifts of 6 people each, so they had 12 people signed up.
To help with parking.
And they went down to 51st Street, and they called themselves crowd ambassadors. Here's the parking over here, here's the porta potties over here, here's that kind of stuff. The same stuff, not that basically, but when the county was holding the COVID clinics down at the county fairgrounds, CERT teams were activated to parking. They were park over here, that's entrance over there, those kinds of things. So that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's what their biggest asset to our community is to keep them engaged to do that.
How long is the class they were doing at the college? How many hours?
It was 2 hours a night.
Okay.
For every Wednesday night. Yep. So, and then you can see what the curriculum is there. He included the curriculum, the different units there on that. So I'm just keeping you guys up to speed on that. I don't think it's gonna be a big lift for the fire department to continue to support CERT. And it's what I told David, we're gonna do it. I don't see it being such a big item. After it boiled down to this, versus when he came into my office and said, hey, I'm quitting, I'm done. Mm-hmm. He kind of, you know, said, okay, after they sat with their group and talked, it was like, okay, this is what we want them to do. This is what we're gonna do. Basically, it's the training part of it. Mm-hmm. So,
which you're already doing.
We're already doing a lot of the hands-on training with them. So this is just an informational thing to keep you guys updated.
They're still gonna have their own president or somebody like him.
Yeah, president, treasurer, they'll still keep that stuff, and and hold their own meetings and that kind of stuff. We don't have to be at their meeting because they hold a once a month meeting. It's on the first Wednesday of the month.
Down at 14 or where?
Here.
Here, okay.
Yeah, down at, this is, you're at 14. So, yeah, they're still gonna do all that.
Sounds good.
That's all I've got for the old business stuff.
Sure, okay.
Can we come up with something more to get them engaged in sometime?
You know, we, and I've talked to David about that. Some communities use their CERT teams up to going out on major fires and setting up rehab and providing food for firefighters and doing things like that. And I've, you know, and that's a big thing, Dan, it really is, because you join this group and then all you do is a 4th of July and a kite festival and something like that. What else can we continue to do? That's why they have their practices and their meetings to where they use their radio system and things like that. Anything that we can find an event for. So the city also wants to activate them for their
kite festivals.
Well, the kite festival and their triathlon event or marathon that they did, running like that. They would put the CERT team out in different areas. So anytime they see an event, they have actually a form that CERT gets the person to fill out. And then they look at it and say, yes, that's something we can do. And then they forward it to me as approval that they can do it because we're the ones that can activate them. They can't activate themselves. So anytime they hear of an event that comes up, it's like, it, but you're right, I'd like to find more things for them to do. They do come to our, their preparedness fair. They're gonna be down there in September down at TAP. They'll probably be at Touch a Truck to kind of corral people. They'll probably be at the night out because those are recruiting events for them also. When they are at the preparedness fair, they set up a table and, you know, try and recruit folks to become part of the CERT team. So,
a couple of years ago, we had a radio event, the ACS through the county. We did an event. They were part of that event. They were doing their own thing. They had little carts and they go over to this block and search and they talked on their radios, relayed back to us. We relayed on to through ham radio onto Newport. That kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they came up with their own scenarios. I believe Dave did, but that seemed to really get them hyped up.
Oh yeah.
That kind of stuff.
But yep.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Like that.
Those kinds of things when they can get out and especially use their equipment that they have, use those radios and those kinds of things. So any event they're available to do or that want to do, we're more than supportive of that.
Thank you.
Yep.
New business. We have a resolution 2025-06, resolution to appropriate funds to the Volunteer Association support. North Lincoln Fire and Rescue District 1 would receive $859.51 for the 2024-25 budget year. That was the participation of the pancake breakfast.
So at the pancake breakfast, the income was $1,876.31. Our expenses were $1,016.80. So there's a profit of $859.51. My thought, what I'm proposing through this resolution is that $860 goes to the Volunteer Association for supporting them. They've spent quite a bit of money on things this year, you know, supported the water rescue team, and they bought a Lucas device for $21,000. So their bank account shrunk down. Anytime I can throw a little money at them, and this was an easy one. They were there helping participate. I know that you were both there. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. So did you see volunteers there helping? I saw several of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of a return on investment for them. So that's what this resolution is to, rather than us collect and keep that money, is I'd like to pass it on to them.
Mm-hmm. Why does it come to us? Ham dinner and stuff, you know, went straight to these things.
Yeah, so this was a fire district event, and we used our money to purchase all the pancake mix and that all that kind of stuff. We used our money for that. At the end of the day, the Volunteer Association is the fire department. They're not a 501c3. They can't do anything independently. In fact, I just got from Ken Brown the other day their financials, because their financials are included in our annual audit. And so, yeah, they don't get to keep that. I don't know what Don Baker did when, how he collected that money and how it was. I mean, they had a jar out there. People would just throw money in, so.
So we need a motion to approve that?
Yes.
So move.
I'll second it.
So Jerry and Dan.
Roll call?
Yes.
Okay, Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty is gone, Eric Creighton is gone, Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Yes.
And Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Motion passes. Chief, did you get a local union report?
I did not.
Okay.
So I think we got another.
We do, we have a.
Policy on time.
Yep.
Time off.
So we're requesting approval to update our policy 8.5. And this is, has to do with, because of the paid leave Oregon section of it. Because Oregon Family Leave Act changed, paid leave Oregon changed. Also, what we found out with one of our employees. With one of our employees who was off on paid leave Oregon.
He wasn't here to approve it, so you can't sign it.
Our policy wasn't clear on time off accruals.
You can sign it, yeah.
So people earn time off when they're working, not when you're not working.
Yeah.
So that's why on page one, you can see number five was there, added onto that. On number five, we did that same thing. And then we also noted that the part-time employees that we have are not accruing any time off. And then if you move forward a bunch of pages.
Because it's only, the change is only the red.
Change, the adding is green and the removal is in red. And then so Krista added page 6 and 7 and 8. You can see all the all the changes she made for reasons taking off, which puts us in line with the Oregon Family Medical Leave and Military Family Leave Acts that have been recently passed, especially with the paid leave Oregon stuff. Basically, we're in line with the state law now if we, when we pass this stuff.
What basically has happened is a lot of these categories were under OFLA, which is Oregon Family Leave. And once we got paid leave Oregon, some of those merged over to paid leave Oregon and left the OFLA platform. So that's basically what we're doing, is just moving it from here to here. And I would say in the next couple of years, OFLA will probably be gone altogether and everything will just fall under paid leave Oregon. So,
thank you. So we'll need a motion to approve the policy.
I'll move.
Sharon. Roll call.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Tim Beatty and Eric Creighton are both gone. Jerry Warner?
Yes.
Dan Drayton?
Yes.
No report from the union?
No report from the union.
Safety committee meeting minutes are there. If anybody has any comment. We'll move on to the deputy fire marshals.
So Cody's not here. We were activated on a conflagration to Klamath County, and Cody went as the assistant task force leader. And then we sent engine 12 with 3 personnel on it. So
who went?
Riley and Bob and Jerry Sneed. Okay. And Jerry's going because he's trying to get his engine boss. He's got it signed off. He just needs to go, and Riley will evaluate him, make sure that he's up to speed. Bob's easy to send because I don't have to backfill that position. Mm-hmm. And Riley and Bob are attached at the hip. And Riley can't even move out of his house. So, and Cody's going as the assistant task force leader. He needs 5 more things signed off on his book, and then he'll be a task force leader for the county. We couldn't get a county task force leader to go. I'm unavailable till August. Tom Jackson couldn't go. We're the only 2 in the county, so we need to get Cody moved up. Mm-hmm. I was able to find a battalion chief from Clackamas County that I know. I called him. He said he'd go. He says, but call my boss. So I called his boss, and his boss says, you can have him. So Cody's going underneath, basically, Clackamas County is the task force leader, Cody's the assistant, so he'll get him worked out and signed off. So that's where Cody is.
Clackamas Falls?
Yes, it's in Bonanza.
How many acres?
I could, I don't know.
Oh, just, you know.
I think it's 6,000, and it was starting to burning stuff down.
Okay.
I'm getting text messages from guys that are down there. Yeah, are you coming? No, I'm not. This is the guy in charge of logistics.
Okay, my only question is, who's doing the Family Promise dinner fundraiser?
When's that?
August 6th, Cops versus Fire.
I haven't even heard about it.
I forwarded that request to Cody, since he's our PR guy.
It's Family Promise, it's the dinner they do, the server is you, or, and the fire chief, police chief, or whoever they're picking.
And so who could collect the most tips to give to Family Promise?
Correct.
Okay. So if I wear a Speedo, I'm...
Hey, whoa. It's a public meeting.
I don't think so.
She can't talk now, she's like... That's Cody's report. If I could fill in anything on Cody's report, if you have any questions about that, I would be glad to try. You can see Looking Ahead, National Night Out is August 5th, and then the Summer Camp for Parks and Recs, and then the Family Promise fundraiser is in there, so those are in there. Next report is Chief Bickerdike, who is out on a multiple vehicle crash with our ambulances transporting again off of this one.
How many have we done? I mean, just the other day, didn't we do two or three transports?
We did three interfacility transfers on Monday.
Three transports.
Three transfers.
And we're finding enough staff to cover
one to
the
Salem.
Ambulance?
We did one to Salem and two to Corvallis.
Okay.
And they wanted to give us another one, and I said no. So, yes, we had four people on down south, and then they had a volunteer who was riding a ship. And we had two paramedics on down south, so we were able to take the paramedic, and then one of them, Josh Roberts, who's a volunteer, he drove.
Okay.
The other one, Amanda Hankins, and they're part-time employees, so they're basically on the clock for their part-time wage. And then on the first one, I forget who went on the first one.
Because Doug told me he would go any time. I think he went, Doug
who?
Strange.
Doug Strange is driving them in right now from out
there. So.
Doug won't go on transfers. He won't be gone to Corvallis and back for 5 hours.
Not what he told me.
Not the same Doug Strange.
He does a lot of just the fill-in, right? Just to transport from the scene to the hospital.
Oh,
there's a lot of logistics when we do this, because if we send people out, we've got to make sure we're covered in town here. I had to take a transfer to Grand Ronde to load him in the helicopter because Cody accepted it. Called me and said, hey, they're going to do it. And I says, who's your paramedic? Oh, we don't have one on. I go, yeah, guess what? So I haven't been in the back of the ambulance for probably 10 years. Bo Brenneman drove me, and I was looking for the Zofran as we were getting through the corridor because he was bouncing me around. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? This was a sick person, too. So anyway.
So Dave's back.
And I took a blood pressure, so Krista says I can...
You can keep your paramedic license for one more year.
I did the blood pressure and the transport.
He's done. He's not playing firefighter.
So that's Dave's report.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that he's got. I liked especially the certifications that people got. Those are good things.
What is life safety educator too?
Somebody who could go into the schools and teach.
Mm-hmm.
They learn about education and how to talk to third graders, or second graders, or somebody.
And the pictures are they were working on roofs and climbing down.
Yeah. So currently we have the DPSST vent prop is down at Station 16. That's some pictures of them that they're working on that. It's here until Friday. I believe it goes away Friday or Saturday. He had a couple of cars that we were cutting up, that people donate cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that other picture. And then you have the picture on the lower right is the County Rope Rescue Team practicing, that Jerry Sneed is a big part of.
This is backing up just a hair, but is there any agreement between the private ambulance service and the fire department as far as Do you work with them or?
Yes, we do have a written mutual aid agreement.
Okay.
That talks about when they could call us and what we can do. It also includes a billing aspect of that that we got away from a year ago because their billing office was non-responsive and terrible. And so they charged us too much money and we didn't get enough back. So we went with a different billing company. But I think the other part it lines out is when they call us and when can we step up and transport. The stuff from this hospital over to the Valley Hospitals is managed by LifeLight. LifeLight has a contract with both Lincoln County Hospitals and they have a call down list. So if the hospital calls and says, I have an emergency transport, they call LifeLight. If LifeLight says, we can't do it, then they call Pacific West Ambulance. If Pacific West Ambulance says, we can't do it, we're the third call.
Okay.
If we can't do it, then it goes to Grand Ronde Tribal. And then as of probably this week, they're gonna call Sheridan next. I was able to get Sheridan in the, and then Southwest Polk, which means the ambulance comes all the way from Rickreall to here.
Yeah, I've seen them over here.
Yeah, so that's the call down list to get somebody transported out. So
wow.
We're third.
I'm glad we got that second ambulance.
Yeah, yep.
So. Makes a big difference.
It does, because if I was getting nauseated in that one.
Yeah.
Well, touché.
So your collections are very good then?
Our collections are better than they were. So if you look back at in our financials, you can see what we did last year.
Okay.
We were a little over 50,000, but I think we're going to get better because of who's using it now or who's doing it for us now.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, we were at $80,000-$90,000 for the year. And then it dropped to like $20,000, and now we're getting back up there. They're just a way more responsive company. They've set up credit card payments so people can charge ambulances on their credit cards if they need to, because people have copays and deductibles and things like that they have to pay.
Just the transparency in the system that they use in the Zoll billing. It's
so people that have bought the insurance, so to speak, they'll reimburse.
Yes.
They'll reimburse.
Yeah. So okay. if and we'll honor the ambulance. And so if you have the ambulance in service with Pacific West Ambulance and you have a copay and they say, no, we have ambulance service, we'll honor that too.
I see.
That's part of the agreement that we have with them.
Thank you.
Okay.
Now your report.
My report. So you can see 13 transports last month. We've collected 41,000. We're a little higher than that. So ambulance collections last month, so that's any major monies we received that are in there, the inspections, ambulance collections, EF recovery, which is the motor vehicle crashes that we can bill for. Equipment issues that we have. So as you know, when you went down to the pancake, station 16 looks pretty good. A lot of trimming, cleaning, painting of curbs that they did. There's no major vehicle repairs. So what we've also done, and it started today, was we have a signed contract now with Cummins Northwest to come service our three generators in town here because they're Cummins generators. They came out today and did this one. And the reason what triggered that is the one at station 16, when it was coming on, was knocking our internet and our phone system offline. We don't know what the problem is, but they come out and they load test them and they make sure that they're functioning properly and everything. So we signed a 5-year contract with them. It's about $5,000. It's $5,000 this year. I think during the fifth year, it's up to $6,500. It incrementally increases a little bit.
I think it's worth the money.
Our emergency generators will work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Usually it's over voltage that knocks it off. So.
Is it? Yeah, but we don't know what's going on.
So it's a voltage regulator problem in many, many cases, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we don't know why it's all of a sudden it'll kick on and then because our phones and our internet are all through us down, and it starts down there at station 16 is where our server is, just knocks everything offline. And Cody seems to be the guy to fix it sometimes. Garage door openers at station 16, we're gonna replace all 14 of those openers. $1,700 a piece, and we're gonna take it out of bond money and call it safety. The issue with that was, so we had, it came down on one of the fire trucks and broke out a couple bottom panels. They were going, they needed to fix the opener, it needed a new chain and stuff. They're 28 years old. The safety committee also recommended that we put electric eyes there, because right now it's a pressure sensor, so it comes down and it pops this thing and it goes back up. Well, that's why it has to hit something before it goes back up.
Yeah.
The electric eyes, you don't have to hit anything. Mm-hmm. We wanted to put electric eyes on all those openers, and Mr. Hatton came down, looked and says, not with those openers, they don't take electric eyes, you can't do it. Well, they're 28 years old.
So I'm changing them.
Mm-hmm. So we're changing all of them out. We have electric eyes on these here, we have them at station 15, we have them at station, they're at all the other stations.
There's eyes at 15?
Yeah. So as you're driving out, it would catch it, but not if you're backing in. Where are you going with that comment?
Well, I'm sure it's in here.
No, it's not, because it happened after I did this. Alarm responses, you can see, just a creep up a little bit over a year for 1%. From year to year, we're up 2%. The biggest incidents that we had last month is we had a house fire over here on Union. It was a garage fire that made its way into the house, displaced that family. Our financial audit, the letter was signed by President Beatty and went to the state, so that's been done. OSHA stuff, we're still working on a few things. Personnel, so Seth Seedling started his full-time employment, so that puts us back to 2 people on probation. We started the 4 temporary positions, or 4 people on the temporary jobs for the weekends, and they started this last July 4th.
I thought we were doing 2 people.
Well, there are only 2 people on, but we have 4 people that are taking
rotating
those positions.
Every
yeah.
day.
Just Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
And so when these 4 people, now that they're working part-time, anytime they come in to work, we have to pay them at their part-time wage. You can't volunteer for a job that you would get paid for. Pretty strict bully rule.
Right.
So when they come to volunteer drills or come to drills, they're on the payroll. When they come in and we restricted them to only when there's an all-call pay. So if there's a structure fire, they're come in, they're on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an ambulance transport at night, they need to do it, or daytime, they come in, they're on the clock. That's just the employment rules we have to live by. We can't separate out between
mm-hmm.
volunteering and
okay.
their employees, they have to be paid for it. So those 4 started. We have 6 volunteers in training, 6 support volunteers. We had 2 people that we've completed background checks and physicals. Chris has been trying to get them in here to onboard, and they are as unresponsive as.
Yep.
Trying to call them in to say, hey, come in. Here's your paperwork. Here's your LOSAP paperwork. Here's your
everything.
Your AD, your accidental death dismemberment. Here's your all those policies we have to do.
Are they local?
Yep.
How old?
They're younger.
Early 20s. They've been through everything, they just haven't come in for that final. We're not issuing them any gear, none of that, till they have to come in and start going.
Well, and they can't actively be doing anything either. They're really just considered looking at those watchers, you know, at this point, until they sign off their board.
So they don't have any cost on their gear at all, then, do they?
No.
Okay.
No. So station 16 damage, just know the door panels have been replaced, but the opener's not, so that's in here too. Casino stuff, so this weekend was the fair rodeo event up there. We went up there with our water tender and wetted down the arena several times for them. We didn't have a single call up there. They did pretty well from what I understand. Now they're getting ready for the bacon barbecue brew.
Beach bacon and brews
whatever.
Saturday.
Yeah, so.
12 to 6.
They went up there today because they've completely raked the back, and we went up there today to wet it all down. When Heather called me, she says, it stinks so bad up here. Because it's now, it's
manure.
Now wet manure that they went, I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know if they're trying to wet it down and get a hard crust so it doesn't stink, but it's gonna be, she was laughing at how bad it smelled. So Bob went up there today with the water tender and at their request and wetted it down. This is good PR with the casino, so when we ask them for that $75,000.
I'll try and make sure Oregon Coast Bank, because they're doing it for backpacks, comes up to the front of the tent, because we were always in the back. We don't want to be in the back.
Apparently Northwest Natural's up there. They're going to be cooking
hot dogs,
bacon cheeseburgers, but Tim's not going to be there. It's just Cindy and her husband are cooking. So I told her at Rotary today, I said, so bring your notes plugs. ISO, we have no more news from them. Under the information, backyard birding is closed. We've been working with a couple of people that don't know it's closed, but we're trying to get that word out. Pancake breakfast was a big success. We do have this weekend, there's an off-road race out in Otis on the 11th. So on the Friday, it's from 5 to 10. Saturday is from 8 to 8, and then maybe on Sunday. And we've been contracted by Justin Haft. He's the one that's doing this. And so he's paying for our EMTs to be out there on standby. National Night Out is August 5th. If you can make that would be great. I think it's on a Tuesday. All the budget documents have been sent to both counties from Krista, so we'll get our tax money. She's completed the best practices, or we've completed the best practices for our 10% discount. Again, I talked about the ladder truck. We got the performance bond. We had a barbecue on July 4th down at the station. Nancy was there, and it seemed pretty well attended as far as that.
Oh, there was over 30 people there.
Yeah, we had a lot of people. And so the leftovers on Monday night's volunteer drill, it was association meeting and a barbecue, and they brought their families. So we finished up a lot of the leftover food that was there and picked that up. So it was nice. There's lots of little kids there. Apparently there's people birthing babies or something. AFG grant, nothing yet. We did receive the Oregon Department of Forestry volunteer fire equipment grant. We did want tires in that for one of our Humvees, and I got a phone call that they were disallowing tires unless it was a vehicle you were trying to get on the road. If it's already been on the road and working for you, they do not pay for tires. So that $4,000 went away, but she said, pick something else you can spend that money on. So I was able to, in place of it, buy some Wildland boots. And so we're gonna get 15 pairs of Wildland boots. And so here's the list of what we're gonna get from them. So that award's been granted. We can't buy any of this equipment until after September 19th for some reason. So we can't buy it for this year. But Wildland boots, 15 pairs, Wildland hard hats, 20, eye protection goggles for those same, 20, web gear and fire shelters, 4, and then structural fire boots, 10. Riley's pretty happy about this because we have a lot of stuff that's hit its 10-year expiration date, 20 years on a bunch of stuff. But we can't get it until September. So, and it's a 50-50 matching grant. So, disaster preparedness grant from Lincoln County. We received that. We purchased all those items. And that grant actually closed out. It was pretty easy. I got the stuff, sent the receipts back. She sent me an email a couple days ago, said your grant's closed out. So we've met all the requirements for that. Disaster stuff, we bought solar panels for those battery units that we have now. So we use those, power goes out. Mm-hmm. We have somebody that's on an oxygen concentrator or something like that. And they'd say, you gotta take me to the hospital, I can't get oxygen. No, wait, we'll bring you this. Plug it in, and now your concentrator works till the power company can get things back working.
Because the power company also has generators.
They do, but they are on a trailer and have to come from Albany.
Oh, jeez.
And so, and they're gas. These are solar, so okay. You don't need an elderly person trying to gas up.
Well, how many are you going to have?
Right now, we have 10.
Wow.
And they're spread out throughout the district.
Wow, that's great.
And so only a few of them had partial solar panels, so these solar panels allow us to have a full solar panel, and actually it's enough on there, they said you can run a refrigerator, and they just listed all these different things you can run because you have the solar power to do that.
Is that the Jackeries?
Jackery units. Yesterday we had our civil service meeting here, and with Bob Gibson, Kathy Joy, and Brian Fitzsimmons. It lasted about 20 minutes, mm-hmm. Went over everything, and all they're interested in is who left, why they left, what are the pay scales of the folks. So We've only lost two people in the last year, one to Portland Fire and one to Albany Fire. And so they leave here to go to bigger places. They didn't leave in our, they didn't live in our community, so it was, you know, not, they didn't move to go there. And Bob Gibson was pretty complimentary about the fact that we're not losing a lot of people. A few years ago, we were losing more. So what else, anything else that was?
I mean, he was excited to see kind of how many people live outside of our area that actually choose to drive here every day to work and how much that says about our district and things like that. So he was really happy about that.
Yeah. So Bob's a very smart guy. You know, he's city managers, things that he's done,
yeah,
HR stuff. Yep. He did a lot of good things. So the next meeting is going to be on July 8th of 2026. Exactly a year away. So I finished a sit down with Oregon Emergency Management, and they have what's called a Category Z project. And that's after all of our COVID clinics were done and everything were finished, you were eligible for management costs. And so we finished that out and we're eligible to get $8,151.78 from FEMA for the COVID shot clinics we held 4 years ago. And
I'd,
so,
I'd like a cut of that since I did.
Well, did you do any management of that?
I sure did.
Can I see your hours documented?
I'll have to look.
Okay. So that's coming. I actually saw the payment that was scheduled. So we did get, they thought it was going to be months till we got that. They said things right now go into the FEMA black hole. I saw it on a thing that said we were eligible, and I think it might be in deposit tomorrow. So,
hopefully,
that's what
they
I saw.
They don't take it back.
You know, FEMA, they're still working on closing out stuff from Hurricane Sandy. They have Katrina claims still open.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how bogged down they are. Anyway, Chief Jackson and I met with Pacific West Ambulance Management staff about their response times and staffing. A lot of times they're at level 3 in the county. Their ambulance service contract with the county says they have to have one ambulance for every ASA they cover, which is 4. When they drop below that to 3, they're in violation. And it's pretty unacceptable on Memorial Day weekend when we're dealing with 3 ambulances, and that's all we got. So that's why we're transporting so much. So we did meet with them trying to help figure out resource management was the big topic on that, and how that there can be better communication so we know when they're at level 3, because we don't know until we look at our computer and go, well, that's why the ambulance is a half an hour away. Mm-hmm. They're coming from Newport, you know?
Who's Chief Jackson?
Tom Jackson, Depot Base Chief. Yeah. He's the one who wanted to have the meeting after our fire defense board meeting. So we're working on that. All the employees received their pay raises. They wanted me to relay thank you. They can sit here and tell you thank you themselves, but thank you. They're pretty happy with that. Like I said, conflagration's going right now, so those guys are out of town. I'm not sure how long they'll be gone.
Is that 2 weeks?
Up to 2 weeks, yeah. It's up to 2 weeks. And I can tell you how big the fire is. That's all I got.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Board member activities coming up. We have National Night Out, August 5th. Parks and Rec Summer Camp, August 6th. The Family Promise Fundraiser, which is a Wednesday night, August 6th at Beach Club. And SDO Board Regional Training in September of 2025.
Yes, I think you went to this one last year.
2 years ago.
Was it 2 years ago now?
I think so.
I thought maybe it would be a good one for Jerry to go to. At this point, the closest one is going to be Salem. but it's this side of Salem. It's the Yola area.
Oh.
So you don't have to go into Salem, which is the handy part. So I'll give you this. And if you want to go, let me know. And I have a free credit that we can use.
Oh.
So the class wouldn't cost you anything to go, and I'll provide lunch and stuff like that to it as well. So I'll leave this with you,
right.
And you can. There's all the dates and locations.
Mm-hmm.
So whichever works best for you, let me know, and I'll get you signed up.
Any other comments? Anything new?
I need a new computer.
What was that?
a new battery, one or the other.
A new battery.
A new battery?
I plugged it in to charge it 2 days ago, and the light didn't come on, but it did charge a little bit until turn it on here, and it's 5% that died on it, so.
All right, don't we have, don't we have a-
Should have an extra one.
An extra computer that we can just take the battery out of, and then we can figure out.
Yeah, I've got, Jamie's in my office.
If his is dying, I bet all of them need, probably.
And that is it for the good of the order. Close the meeting, I need a motion.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Roll call, roll call.
Nancy Oxenholt?
Yes.
Kim Beatty and Eric Creighton are absent, Jerry Warner? Dan Drayton?
Yes.
Thank you.